Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, what should Muslims in Europe be concerned about protecting Syria's sovereignty?
The world's attention is on Syria, a country whose credibility and sovereignty are being challenged by Western powers and Arab states. It is a country whose crisis has polarized opinion and fired debate. What principles are central to this story? And should a country's sovereignty be upheld in all circumstances? This week's Islam and Life asks, why should Muslims in Europe be concerned about protecting Syria's sovereignty?
This is a very important topic, and it's very difficult to get an opinion about what is happening in the region, in the Middle East, and in Syria particularly. If we come to what is happening among the Muslims, much opinion, different positioning, divisions, and still there are things on which all the Muslims agree, and they are central to the discussion. When it comes to facing oppression or keeping the sovereignty of the country and getting something for the future, which is stabilized Syria, autonomous, independent Syria, far from any kind of foreign interventions. These are questions that are central, not only for Syria, but for the region. Because what we have today is divisions between Muslims. It's also unstable situation in the whole Middle East. And we should ask ourselves, what are the interests that are protected and what is the future in the region? These are central questions that we have to ask as Muslims, as human beings. And then we come back to Europe and we ask us as European Muslims or Muslims living in Europe, what could be our position, what we should care about, what is happening there, what is the relationship between the Muslims that are living in Britain, in France, in Germany, or in the United States, and the situation in the Middle East. Critical questions, important one for every one of us. And then to answer all these questions, I'm joined by my guest, Middle East analyst Shaban Sayed. Thank you so much for being with us today. Let me come first to this question, which is, when we look at the Middle East and we look at what is happening in Syria, why, from where we are, you think that it's important to get a sense or to understand what is happening in the region, at least, even if we disagree, to try to understand what is happening?
It's a very complicated subject, because what is happening in Syria, we can see the reflection of it on the streets of London. And what's happening in Syria is basically part of the Arab Spring, so-called Arab Spring, yeah, which is basically a strategy of the Project for the New American Century, which was put forward by neocon Zionists who basically want to overhaul the Middle East and bring in new they'll get rid of the old dictatorships that they had installed over years, yeah, who repressed their people. And now was the time to kind of for an overhaul, basically. And that is part and parcel of what they wanted, and under the guise that this is democracy being implemented, yeah, all they've done is basically left a trail of death and destruction in Libya, in Iraq, and now heading towards Syria, yeah. And when I say to you that why we should be concerned, is because I'll give you one simple example. We had not long ago, we had the Al Majroun group go down onto Edgware Road with a...
This is in London, yes?
Yes, yeah. The Al Majroun group, which is the... and with Anjem Chowdhury. And they took a bunch of his own, let's say, Wahhabi Salafi group, went down to the Edgware Road, and with placards saying that Muslims should go and join Syria, the war in Syria, and to topple Assad, and Shias are the biggest threat to Islam. Yeah, and in the process, they attacked some Shias walking down the road. Some old man got attacked and whatever. Yeah, so why would a group of, let's say, Muslims British Muslims living in the safety of London, having all the positive, living in comfort of London, want to go onto the Ajway Road with placards and banners and asking Muslims to go and join the war in Syria.
Yes,
why?
We'll come to this, and I think that this is a very important point, because everything which is happening there has an impact on our lives in the West, in the United States, in Canada, even in Australia, back to Europe. And we have to come to some of the important principles that should drive us in all this political discussion, or at least discussion on politics and different visions that we can have. You said something at the beginning which is important, once again, is that the so-called Arab Spring, and something which in fact came a long time ago and was repeated in 2003 by the previous president, George W. Bush, when he was saying we are for the democratization of the Middle East, and we saw what happened in Iraq, and then it's as if the Iraqi pattern is everywhere. It's to destabilize every country, and then to destabilize the region, to divide the people, and this is what is happening now, because we can see the passions that you were talking about, the group in the UK targeting the Shia, and we sometimes have on both sides people who are not understanding that this is a game. This division is not helping the Muslims. This is the great threat for the future. Having said that, and getting this sense, it's as if even now we don't have this political awareness among the Muslims, even in the West. It's as if they were following this celebration of this democratization process, and now we see that at the end what we get in the region, the new Middle East, is a fragile Middle East, destabilized from within, and no political stability, a new economic dependency. So how can we, at least from where we are as Europeans, get a better understanding of this? Because this is also going to help us when it comes to the streets and some of the groups that are instrumentalized or are instrumentalizing the issues and promoting, you know, targeting the Shia, for example, which is, in fact, the worst that we can get from within our religious unity.
Well, the thing is that when you said in there, very important word, you said game, this is a political game that's playing out, and we're just pawns in this game.
Who is this we?
We as Muslims, right?
All the Muslims?
But I'd also like to add, we as all Muslims, because they don't realize, whether you're Shia or Sunni, we're all involved in this game. When they were abusing the Muslims in Iraq, in Abu Ghraib, where they tortured them, urinated on them, and desecrated their, the Quran, and they had dogs, and you know those pictures that were sent down the internet, Who, did they care whether you're Shia or Sunni? They didn't give a damn, right? As far as they were concerned, you're Muslims, and that was your fate, and that's what they were doing, So we as Muslims should wake up to the fact that we should not fall into these divisions, It's a game that's been set out. We as Shia Sunnis have lived for thousands of years together. There has never really been any intermarriage. There's been intermarriage and stuff. There's never been any problem. All of a sudden now, we have the worst thing that could have happened. We are now pitted against each other, and this is part of the the destabilization of the Middle East, and part of what's happening to us.
But unfortunately, you are saying we and they, we as Muslims, who have to wake up and to understand the game, and they are playing with this, and they are playing, Ben Abi, the Muslim philosopher and thinker, was saying we have been colonized because we were colonizable. We have been divided because we are dividable. And this is something which also we can see, unfortunately, among the Muslims, that we have Sunni scholars, sometimes Shia scholars, they are playing and falling into the trap by nurturing and coming passionate about something which is, hold on, we might need now to understand that some are playing with us.
Well, the thing is, I mean, we cannot just say some playing. I tell you why. Because this is a strategy that has been implemented a long time ago. Now, it's from both sides. I'll explain the both sides later. First of all, the biggest player at the moment with US and Israel is Saudi. Saudi Arabia has been fomenting a form of Wahhabism, Takfiri Islam, right? The Takfiris,
Are you suggesting that Russia is not playing? And China is not playing.
I'll come to that. They're all playing, right, at the moment. But Russia and China are playing at the moment to protect themselves because of the advancements of American imperialism. Hmm. They're heading out, you know, using every area and whatever. They're putting out, was it the radar belt? I don't know what, anyway, what they're doing, right? So they're all over the place at the moment, right? So they're protecting themselves. And they, I think Russia has been complacent for a while, but all of a sudden they have to kind of step in and realize, my God, tomorrow's Syria, next Iran, they're going to head it towards us as well. Yeah. So that, it's all out. It's all out now. Yeah. But regarding going back to the Saudis, right? They've funded thousands and thousands of schools. Yeah. Propagating a Wahhabi form of Islam, which sees Shias as the enemy and sees Israel as the friendly nation.
Now, the relationship with Israel is subtle, and the relationship with the states is also more subtle than that. Very often, they are supporting, but they are not.
You know that the they're talking about the chemicals that were what you call thrown into the chemical into Syria, right? And the trail goes back to Saudi and Israel. Israel took those sarin gas and took all the chemical weapons from which were produced in Saudi, and then deposited them, took them. The Turkish forces held them, and they took them to the transported them to the what do you call the Free Syrian Army. Okay, so you know. The hand reaches very far, right? But what I'm more concerned about, and I'm kind of going on about the same thing again, right, is the fact that we have to, as Europeans, as British Muslims, as
American, I will come European to this, Muslim, but the point for me in what you are saying is that, once again, if we go that way so far, there are different interpretations on even what is happening now in Syria. And we need to get a principled position. And the principled position is to be against oppression and at the same time to be against any kind of intervention, trying to control the country from outside. I think that this is where we can come together.
Yes, because
if we go in your direction, once again, we are creating the passionate debate by saying, look, this is a version that it's coming from the pro-Bashar versus...
Has been the main... I think, situation has ever highlighted the what do you call the sectarian division and the as Syria, okay, that have been fermented by external forces. All right, so nothing's harder as Syria.
No, I think it happened even before when we had the Americans using Iraq against Iran, and they were was coming in front of the TV showing, I'm the Sunni, you know, leader who is protecting the Sunni from the Shia revolution. This happened in the past,
not to this extent as now. They've gone on YouTube. Killing, cutting bodies, eating bodies on YouTube and stuff.
The point which is completely new on this, I think that we were
And did we in that time, did we in Britain go out on the streets and tell
exactly
people, go and
point.
Join?
That's
did
exact,
we?
That's
but
exa-
for this
Let me finish my question,
sectarian.
But I agree with you that what happened in the past, I think, was the starting
More
point
subdued.
of a project which is dividing the Muslims and dividing the Shia and the Sunni, which was not completely successful in the 80s.
No.
Now what is happening is that the impact is coming now here. So my question to you, when you have these people who are in the streets or taking to the streets in the UK or elsewhere, I saw this in the States, I saw this in France, I saw this in other countries, and recently I was in Italy and I had people saying, you know, we have to be very much against the Shia because these people, once again, we have these divisions. So now, if we want to come to something which is avoiding the passionate debates and coming to a principled position on what we should and how we should be involved, what would be your suggestion?
Okay. You may think, oh God, what's she going on about? Because I'd like to go back to something else as well, right? Which may highlight this point.
Okay, you're not going
to
respond to my
question. No. I'm going to ask you. This will highlight what I'm trying to say, right?
Okay.
Which is the fact that in the same way, recently they got Mohammed Al-Arafi coming to Britain, and he's the one who's telling, who says Shias are the biggest threat to world peace, and also telling the came here to and told the British and, you know, British Muslims that they should go to Syria and they should fight. Yeah, and the British and the Muslim women should go there and support them. That's a bit of another issue here. But anyway, the fact that they should be going there, right, and they should be fighting for against Assad, right, and the fact that Shias are the biggest threat and whatever. And in the same time, we've got Yasser Habib, is another Shia cleric. Yeah, all of a sudden has got a £2 million. School or a Muslim center opened up in Buckinghamshire, in the quiet countryside of Buckinghamshire. He's been running a TV station, saying very nasty anti-things about the Sunni Hisabas and creating hatred. Yeah. So, and where are these people getting entry into the country?
What are you saying? And your point.
I want to know who is funding these people.
Is your point that there are forces outside the Muslim community trying to divide the Muslims?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
This is what you are saying. So my question now is that's not new. That's as old as we had colonization, dividing the Muslims, dividing the trends, dividing the traditions, dividing the Sunni and the Shia. Now we have this here in our streets. So what, and we need to get to a position where we are thinking about what is happening in the Middle East. Mm. Now, our position in the Middle East should be really based on, look, it has to do with autonomy, it has to do with rule of law, it has to do with democracy, and it has to do with the West respecting the principles that they preach, meaning if the people are choosing, you have to let them choose, if they have to get this. So how can we make the European Muslims aware of all these games and to try to get the right position on the political field when it comes to this? Because the problem that we have is that for the first time in my life, on my own website, I have people insulting me for political position that I'm taking.
Yes.
While it's not possible to say you're against the Shia. No, I'm not. I'm just, it's a principled position. But I cannot accept what is done by the Saudis and what by the Gulf state targeting. So how can we change this mindset and come to something which is, yes, you should be involved in this discussion, but based on more wisdom and political awareness?
Okay, we live in this society, yeah? We're dominated by the media, yeah? We have TV stations, whatever. The only media that was highlighting the truth was the press TV, and they have now thrown it out of the country, okay? RT, to some extent, is another good TV station, yeah, that kind of is in a kind of an alternative opinion to what the mainstream media is perpetuating, right?
So, but what can the ordinary citizens do?
Well, if the ordinary citizens are going to be picking up a newspaper every day, which is just said that, okay, that, you know, Samantha Lewis-Thin was the one who was, part of, who went there to blow up the mall, with no proof, to blow up the mall in Kenya, and, you know, women are turning to terrorism, If that's the kind of stuff that's going to be perpetuated through the media and through the newspapers every day, chance is there, you tell me?
So they have to protect themselves from the media and what is said in the media.
What I'm saying is very difficult, We have to some extent, wake up and realize, that we cannot rely on the truth coming from the media. The media is constantly manipulating the truth.
The great majority of the Muslims or the European Muslims are aware of that. Now we need to go a step further than that. And what could be the position to try just to unite this understanding?
Okay. Hmm. Can you, assuming that you kind of were born and brought up in Britain, So over the 20 years or so, you have been going to the Islamic schools, which have been funded by the Saudis for all this time, And there's a certain form of Islam that's been taught to them, When you come out, you are more likely to take a stance, which most of the people are beginning now to take a stance. So now we're pitting against each other.
So what can we do?
So this heavy form of indoctrination that was being funded by many.
What is the solution then?
One of the solutions was to have alternative media at the forefront, to have more media that speaks the truth. one of the biggest alternative, the most important thing is that we need a media that speaks the truth. Hmm. That's not bought and sold by the Zionists. It's owned by them, mostly by the Zionists anyway, right? So we need a media that is speaks the truth, does not lie, yeah? The news is not portrayed as news is not a political agenda for somebody, because that's what it is. That's what the mainstream media is about, yeah? So we really need to kind of wake up. Yeah, start reading, becoming aware of the facts, looking at history of how things turned out. Why are we in the state that we're in today? So, you know, we need to kind of really wake up. And it's difficult, surrounded by a mass media and surrounded by the if you look at the wider public, yeah? What is their concept about Islam and Muslims? Terrorists, you know, and the first to resort to violence. What did this... what did this Woolwich terror attack show? All it showed was the fact that, you know, this is what Muslims can be capable of. And who did they do a favor to? To the Zionists? To Israel? Not to us. They showed us as animals. Okay. So, you know.
Okay, thank you for that. I think that this discussion, it's important. It starts with understanding what is happening in the Middle East. And we were talking about the game that behind the scene, knowing that it's not even behind the scene, but we should know that there are powers that are playing, trying to divide, and it happened in the 80s, it's happening now. And as we were saying, what happened before is now having an impact on our streets within the community. And it's very important for Muslims, European Muslims or Muslims living in Europe, to get a better understanding, get more independent news and sources of information about what is happening. And as we are saying, to be less passionate about politics and more reasonable, rational, and trying to understand. These are important principles. A position of principles, a principled position in politics is also what we are taught from an Islamic perspective, and in politics, this helps. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen, and here is the way to contact us.
We at Islam in Life would like to hear your views about the subjects that we discuss. We would also love to hear your suggestions for our program, so get in touch with us. You can share your thoughts with other Islam in Life fans, engage in debate, and find out how to watch our previous shows. Follow us on Twitter at Islam in Life TV, or join us on Facebook by liking our page, Islam and Life on Press TV.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Shibon Said. Thank you so much for your presence and your input, and I hope to see you next week, inshallah.